It's 4:57. Hello.
Hello, everybody.
This morning is sunrise.
Give me a second.
The people who gets in the middle and who not.
Okay.
Or
I'm going to, first of all, I would just like to, for 1 minute, here, first of all, if you can see me, I am Or Shalom, just in case you know, I'm using. Let me just try to, I would like for 1 second to, I want to, number one, share a screen, give me a second, hold on.
Some people really know what they're doing with this. Here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sarah Maslow.
Yeah.
Hi.
No, I have a sound.
Hello.
Okay, give me 1 second. I'll be with you 1 second. Okay. All right, everybody, in 1 minute. Okay. So. Okay, everybody, I just, in order, because a lot of background noise, I put everyone on mute, and there'll be time at the end of the shiur to ask questions. And for some reason, I hope that my internet's working well, and we'll be able to you'll be able to hear me. And you know, it's always a wonderful part of coming here that we're able, you know, to get together and learn. And I know that today, unfortunately, we're not able to get together, but at least on some level, we can get together and to prepare for Chag HaPesach. And as we know, it's definitely a very different Chag HaPesach than it is in most years. It's definitely a very different Chag HaPesach than in most years. And I hope that, well, you know, we should grow from this Chag HaPesach. I know we're not having the same people we usually have. Not going to go ahead. And I would say, did I lose everybody? Just a second. Hello, did I lose people? Give me a second. Give me a minute, I think we're having technical issues. Okay. Okay, I'm back. I'm sorry. There was some kind of technical issue there, and I hope it won't happen again. So I just want to begin, and I hope that I'll be able to get through the whole shiur about the internet going down. You know, as we are basically here this year, I'll tell you the first discussion that comes across is a lot of people are talking about in a terrible situation where unfortunately we hear people getting sick. We hear that, unfortunately, there are people that everyone's connected to on some level we know have unfortunately passed away. We read the news all the time. We hear everything coming across. And, you know, the first time I went ahead and in the beginning, I myself felt this way, but I see stories, Mashiach must be on the way because all these things are happening. So I first want to speak about that, and then I'll go on the rest of this year. Now, I myself am someone who is Sipisa Legula, I'm the Chakala B'chol Yom Sheyavo, which means that every single day I'm actually waiting and I'm expecting and I'm hoping that the Mashiach will come. However, I don't believe that we have to say that because bad things are happening, Mashiach has to come. And on two levels, I would like to explain why that is. Number one, my Masorah is not to say that. And number two, I think it's detrimental to say, well, bad things are happening, so Mashiach must be on the way. First, I want to start with a story that happened to my great-grandfather, Chaim Brisker, and I want to move on from there because it's a very important story to hear, to tell over, because people always think, oh, terrible things are happening, Mashiach must be here. So during the First World War, and I would just say that the First World War was pretty terrible also, and the reason why we don't talk about the First World War and the atrocities the Jews went through was because it paled in comparison to the Shoah, the Holocaust, and the Second World War. And that's why we don't talk about all the terrible things that happened during the First World War. But it was pretty bad for those living through it. And my great-grandfather, Chaim Brisker, at that time, so he went ahead and he left. He went ahead and he left. My great grandfather, he went ahead and he left. He went ahead and he left. At that time, he went ahead and he left. Brisk ran away and he went, ended up in Warsaw. And for that reason, actually, he's actually buried in Warsaw. And he was sitting, I guess, and someone from Brisk ran away and came to Warsaw and was telling Reb Chaim about all the atrocities that the Jews were going through. And Reb Chaim was very upset. At the end of the story, he sighs and says, well, this should be the Mochemet Gogu Magog. And at that point, Reb Chaim got very upset. So this man, this Jew, didn't understand. Why is Reb Chaim so upset? After all, you know, it's so many Gemaras that speak about the Mechemes Gog U'Magog, the great war that's going to happen before the Mashiach arrives. Why is Reb Chaim so upset? And at that point, he went ahead and he said, listen, he says, there are many Gemaras that I don't understand. I don't understand this Gemara either. But in order for Mashiach to come, not one bird has to lose its life. So I think at one level, we can't think about that, oh, since terrible things are happening, Mashiach must be coming. I think we could think about a Yeshua and a salvation, but we said, Kadosh Baruch Hu bring Mashiach about terrible things happening. And I think why it's destructive to think this way is because if we start thinking about a Yeshua Mashiach coming, we sort of underestimate the problems we are faced with and how to go ahead and react to these problems. How to react to these problems. And that's problematic. We have to realize, and I'm sure we all do, how serious the situation is. There are those who are advocating amongst in Eretz Yisrael, certainly Abinu Malkeinu, most people are not saying Tachanun now, but we have to realize we're in a very serious situation. And we say, oh, Mashiach has been on the way. We sort of, negate the problem. It's not a big deal because Mashiach is on the way. So no, it's a terrible issue. We have to really face the challenge and how we're going to deal with this issue of what we're dealing with at this point. Okay, so for that reason, I would go and I would say like this, so what does it mean when we speak about Mashiach coming? Well, if we react to this in the right way, then yes, maybe we can bring the Gula. So we see a problem, we need a Yeshua, and we have to realize and think, how are we going to react this? What are we going to do to react this in the proper way? So for that reason, I would just mention in Parshas Vayikra, when it discusses at the end of the second chapter, bringing the Lechem Bikurim. Lechem Bikurim is the Korban HaOmer, that we have to bring the Korban HaOmer. That means is that we have to go ahead and we have to bring on the second day of Pesach a Korban HaOmer, and it's an obligation to bring the Korban HaOmer. So this says, the question the Mepharshim asks is, why does it say, it says there in the Pasuk, B'chi, and when you bring the Korban HaOmer, Lechem Bikurim. What do you mean, B'chi, when you bring it? So the main different interpretation in the Mepharshim, Ramban says, you know why it says and when? Because coming to Eretz Yisrael is conditional. The Jews behave properly. The Jews don't behave properly, not to come to Eretz Yisrael. So the same thing, when we talk about the ultimate Geula, it's when the Jews react properly to what's going on, they act properly, behave properly, then the Gula will come. So I see right now we are in a moment of great Tsar, and we have to react in the proper way. And if we act in the proper way, then the guru will come. And that's one of the reasons we say why Mashiach must be on the way, is because maybe this tsar that we're in will cause us to act the proper way. We weren't zochet to have the gula come when everything was great. Nachash Baruch Hu says, okay, I want to see how you're going to react. And for that reason, we have to ask ourselves, which involves some sort of speculation, but what is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do? You know, how are we supposed to react? What are we supposed to do? So obviously, there's a lot of speculation there, and no one really knows what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants at all the Navi. But we look at Mefarshim, we try to understand the situation logically. We go ahead and we look in Chagai Perek Aleph. And I would just say, important thing to keep in mind is, and by the way, there are people, I heard people, all sorts of reasons that are being given why this is happening, and I'm going to speculate too. But I would just say that when we talk about what's going on, there is, and I'm going to call it a minor problem for now, the minor problem, the minor consequence is the fact that we're not in shuls. We're out of our shuls, we're not going anywhere. It's horrible, it's horrible, okay? And that's true. And if you want to ask me why it is we're not going to shul anymore, so I very simple, I could say, the shul was created to replace the Beis HaMikdash, and Jewish people have lost the desire to go to the Beis. No one thinks about the Beis HaMikdash. We really care. We have our shuls. So now HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us, okay, you can't go to shul because maybe you should go ahead and you should think about going to the Beis HaMikdash. However, in Chagai, Perek Aleph, Torah tells us, but that's as far as not being in the shuls. But in terms of the corona itself, this is something that affects the entire world. And if it's something that affects the entire world, in my humble opinion, we have to see where does the whole world have to correct itself. Not just Am Yisrael. And yes, Am Yisrael is affected by the whole world. My father, Avraham Soloveitchik Zatzal, was always very fond of quoting the Sefer Chassidim, that Minig HaYehudim, Afilu HaYoser Tov Mishabem, the Minig of Jews, even the best of them, is Kiminig HaGoyim Shabasochem Hen Yoshim. It's like the Minig of nations in whose midst they live. And if you look at Chagai Perek Aleph, I would point out to you that when the Jewish people came back to Eretz Yisrael and didn't build the Beis HaMikdash, there was a terrible drought. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that time sends a Navi Chagai, and he says, you're sitting in your house, it's all comfortable, and the house is destroyed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in Pasuk K, you can see source number one on the screen, you sow a lot, you bring a little bit to eat, and you're not satisfied, you drink, you don't get drunk. He says, think about what you're doing. Okay, and because of this, you don't have a base of Mikdash pointed out. What is it saying there? It says, Alkein aleichem kulu shemayim mitav aretz kulu yavula. The land is not giving off. You don't have rain. You don't have dew. When you look at Radak source number two, Radak says, and if you take notice, all the lands around you have rain, have dew. So the fact that you don't have it must mean it's something specific to Am Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael. And there can only be one thing. That's the lack of the Beis HaMikdash. So the fact that we don't have shuls today, I think it's the Beis HaMikdash. But the coronavirus affecting the whole world, we have to look and have a universal view. What is something that the whole universe maybe should correct itself? And we as the Jews should worry about ourselves. And maybe there's something which the whole world is doing that we also have to fix. Now just take notice, I'm going to sort of skip to the end of the shir of source number three. In source number three, it's the Ramban, Gideon Parshas Bamidbar. The Ramban, Gideon Parshas Bamidbar, talks about the fact that the Jewish people, so what happened was the Jewish people, when they were, it talks about, we had the mitzvah of Machzor Shekel. And we're told that when it says in Parshas Kisisa, that when you count the Am Yisrael, you shouldn't count them, you should use the Machzor Shekel, v'lo yivachem negev. And people mention as a proof that if you go ahead and count Am Yisrael in proper way, there'll be a magepa plague. And that comes from David HaMelech, because David HaMelech counted Am Yisrael. And because he counted on after, he counted Am Yisrael. So he was punished. And we see that the Navi God comes to David and says to David HaMelech, well, David, what punishment do you want? And David says to them, what punishment do I want? He says, do you want to fall in the hands of man, hands of God? And by Yomer David, oh God, sorrowing, oh, let me fall in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because that there was a Magefa, and everyone is pointing out that that's what's going on now. We can't blame this in any nation. Yeah, they want to blame it on the Chinese, maybe. But I'm not going there. This is a Yad Hashem. Right now, it's a Yad Hashem. So it's like David Melech said, Sarli Ma'od, let me fall in the hands of God. I'd rather be in the hands of God, which is true. So notice, a Magefa is happening now, a pandemic, and a Magefa happened in the days of David Melech. What did David Melech do wrong? If you look at the Ramban says a lot in the first, and he says some want to suggest that David HaMelech did not count Lamachta Shekel, he counted each person. And he always says, the Ramban says it can't be. Yovel never allowed him, David HaMelech goes to Halacha. The Ramban says, and these words are very important, that what happened, he says, Kifi Dati, because David HaMelech counted them, Lo Litzorech, for no need. He wasn't going to war, he didn't need any other count. Rock, he wanted to be happy. Wow, I am the king of a great nation. Whoa, that's amazing. And that was Lo Litzorech. So the Magefa came because he did something which was Lo Litzorech. And I want to put that in the back burner for now and come back and discuss what does that mean, Lo Litzorech? What does Lo Litzorech mean? What does it mean you want to do Lo Litzorech? So I'm going to come back, and how does that affect us, the idea of Lo Litzorech? So let's put that to the side, and let's discuss Pesach. So if you look at source number 4, and I just discussed a part of the Haggadah, we know we sit down to the Seder, we make Kiddush, and then after Kiddush, we wash our hands about a bracha, and then after that, we take the karpas, and we make a bracha. So the question is, the halacha says, you don't have to do it, eat a beseba, and if you want, you can. My father ate the karpas beseba, and then we split the matzah in half, and then we start halach mahanya. This is the bread of affliction, the achalu of a son of Arden Mitzrayim, that our forefathers ate in the land of Mitzrayim. And what do we say? We say, kol dipchin, everyone's home, come and eat. Okay, fine. But the question is, matzah is the bread of affliction? I thought, at least for us today, matzah is the bread of freedom. For us today, it symbolizes freedom. When we start to go up and we say, it's the bread of affliction. But it's not just, and you know, some say that this was written in Babel. But the truth is that I'm going to prove to you that in the Haggadah itself, we see matzah symbolizes slavery. The Acholo is son of Aaron Mitzrayim. So all of a sudden it switched, and we'll go on, we'll see more. If you look at the Malvin source number 5, and I'm going to paraphrase the Malvin. The Malvin is very important. The Malvin basically says like this, that what's the idea? He asked a question. So we sit down, we ask the 4 questions. You know, and I'm going to translate how, in maybe incorrect way first. Why is this night, different than all other nights? And we said, it's all nights we eat chametz or matzah, tonight we eat matzah. And all other nights we eat all vegetables, tonight we eat marah. And all other nights we don't dip once, tonight we dip twice. And all other nights we sit straight, lying down, tonight we sit reclining. Okay? And then what we say, avadim ayinu. We really answer the questions we ask. Does avadim ayinu really explain why we eat matzah and not chametz? Does Abedim Yehuda really explain why we eat marah or why we're clapping? Why we don't really answer the questions. And the Malbim in that little paragraph in source number 5 explains what's the question. The question is very simple. He says, he's not asking why. A child walks into the Seder and he says, what's going on here? I don't understand, he says. You know, when you walk into a Jewish holiday, a Jewish day, it's very easy to figure out what's the feeling, the emotions of that day, what's the lesson of that day? If you walk into a shul on Simchas Torah, it's all happy. Purim, it's joyous. Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, there's a solemnity. Tisha B'Av, there's all sadness. And I come Pesach night and I can't figure it out. On one hand, I eat matzah, which he says is the symbol of slavery. He says, Achilas Matzah. is what we ate in Mitzrayim, like we said in Halach Malanya, the maror. We remember the bitterness. It seems to be a night of bitterness, of slavery, of bad memories. And then we switch, he explains, to eating, to dipping, which represents richness, ashirus, wealth, and freedom, and reclining. The child says, I don't know what's going on here. There seems to be some level of inconsistency. And what's the answer? The answer is, we say, you know why you're right. Because this night, Avadim Ayinu, we were slaves to Paro and Mitzrayim, and we also came out that night. And therefore, this night, we have to sort of reenact both. We eat the matzah and the maror to remember the slavery, the bitterness, and we reenact when we came out, the dipping, we reenact the tefillah, the reclining. We have to act both out. We see from the Malbim, the matzah really is a symbol of slavery. It's a symbol of our years of servitude. And if that's the case, how did matzah become the bread of freedom? But not only that, even on a halachic level, we'll see a great inconsistency. In source number 6, the Gemara is discussing the halachas of reclining. Gemara tells us that even an Ani should be Yisrael, we'll come back to this, has to recline no matter how difficult it is, what his position in life is. And yes, even for us this year, the very difficult year, some of us will not be the Seder that we want to be at. Some of us will not have the people we wanted to Seder. We have so many feelings going on. Everyone has to recline. Very difficult, very challenging. Hopefully we'll explain that. Then the Gemara says one needs a Seba. The Arva Kosos is a suffix whether it needs a Seba. It's not a suffix. It's a question whether the first two cups need, the last two cups need. So we do all four of that Seba. We recline all four. The Maror does not need a Seba because the Maror is bitter. We're not going to act out our bitterness by acting in a reclining manner because we have to show that we take bitterness very seriously. We can't make a joke of it. But the matzah, Gemara says, that requires a seba. Why? Because the matzah is freedom. I don't understand. We just said the matzah is about what we ate in Mitzrayim. The matzah represents the servitude. Why are we eating it? Why are we eating it? If you go look in source number 7, Rashi very clearly says, matzah tzricha haseba. Matzah requires a seba. Like mechorin. Because matzah is zecher l'gula. I just said. The matzah is not zecher l'gula. I just said the matzah. What's the matzah? The matzah is the bread of grain in Mitzrayim. How all of a sudden are we comparing it and saying it's the zecher l'gula? Okay, so basically all these questions I ask can be summed up into one question. And the question is, on one hand, we're calling it the matzah, the bread of our bondage, our affliction. And then we know it's a symbol of freedom. Now we know it's a symbol of freedom. We do a seva because zecher l'gula. That's one question. He says, and then if you go on, you look. That if you look at source number 7, source number 8, I'm sorry. The Piskei Rid points out that even an Ani of Yisrael should not eat until he eats v'seva, the matzah. And matzah requires a seva. Why? So why is it required the seva? Because it's zecher l'gula. Why is zecher l'gula? Matzah al shem shenigalu. Because the matzah is because we were redeemed. In other words, because we were redeemed. So in other words, there is something about matzah that we read about, we'll see, that causes we redeemed. So what is it? Just says, what is it about the matzah? We'll come back to that. Now, he says like this. If you go in and you look, so it's source number 11 and 12. So what's this matzah zushan atzrichi? So he says, so and at some point in the Haggadah, we say, Rabbi Leo says, whoever did not say these three things, so he will not, whoever did not say these three things, he will not be, he was not yotzei the mitzvah of Sivchus Mitzrayim. What it probably means is he wasn't yotzei the mitzvah of the miluo, the best way possible. So what are the three things he has to talk about? Korban Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. Okay? So the Gemara goes, so what does matzah mean? So if you look at source number 11, what do you say? So the Seichel Tov and the Medrash, it says, matzah zushan ha'ochlem al shuma. Why do we eat matzah al shum? Shalom hispik v'tzek 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 v'tzek. We don't say this exactly, but because the dough of our forefathers, our ancestors, did not have too many to ferment, to become chametz until they were redeemed. Nemra yopas abotzek. So one question is, well, we'll come back to that. But if you look in source number 12, Rav Amram Gong changes it, probably source in Chazal, and he says, not until HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us. But he says, Ad shenigla aleya melech malchi amlach HaKadosh Baruch Hu golem yad. That they didn't have a chance to become chametz before HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself. It's not sufficient to say until God went ahead and redeemed us. We have to add in the words until God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, came and revealed himself. And then he redeemed us. That's what we say. And the question is why? Why do we have to say that? Why do we have to say, Ad shenigla aleya melech me'amalachim? Why is that so important? Then I want to ask one more question, and then I'll try to tie everything together. So we know that, and this is the title of the shiur, that one of the obligations of Pesach night is to go ahead and to eat lechem oni, which means that even though we ikar adin, and I say ikar adin, Ashkenazim don't eat at mitzad chumrah on minhag unless there's a health issue that's involved, we don't eat egg matzah, matzah ashira. However, mikar adin, you're allowed to eat egg matzah, except for the Seder night. Why? Because for the Seder night, the halacha is, and you have to go ahead in the Seder night, you have to have lechem oni. You have to have poor man's bread, bread of affliction. What is lechem oni? So if you look at source number 13, it's actually a Gemara. The Gemara mentions different opinions. So number one, it could be that it can't be bread that has matzah, that it has fruit juices in it that tastes a little better than matzah. Or it has to be something which, according to Rabbi Akiva, is that it can't be, it also can't be matzah the kmiyotze with matzah maaser sheni. What does matzah maaser sheni mean? Matzah maaser sheni means he says you can't have matzah maaser sheni. Why not? Because matzah maaser sheni is something, maaser sheni is, then the first and second and fourth and fifth year of the Shemitah cycle, or 7-year Shemitah cycle, so 10% of what you grow has to be in Yerushalayim. Okay, you can redeem it on money and buy some later in Yerushalayim, and that you can't eat when you're in a state of aninus. So it says certain Shitas and Chazal that you're not allowed to eat matzah maaser sheni because there has to be something which is eaten, which can't be eaten, which can be eaten even when you're in a state of great sadness. So we see that the matzah has to have a characteristic of something which is not only, is something not just that we remember having Mitzrayim, it has to have a characteristic of something which is, you know, it had characteristics of the bread of affliction, bread which not people eat when they're in a great mood or in a great state. So how did it become the bread of freedom? If there are so many limitations of matzah, how did it become the bread of freedom? So in order to answer these questions, I think it's important to look at source number 14, 15, and 16. So source number 14, which is the Kriya, that if we will be in Shul on the first day of Pesach, we'll read that on the first day of Pesach. So when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, it says, by Yisa Om Espitseko Karam Yachmax Misharasam Shroch Bisimlosam Al Shechmam, the people went ahead and they took their dough with them before it got chametz, they were rushing. So what happens? Since source number 15, Rashi says the Mitzrayim did not allow them to stay in Mitzrayim and not shechem chametz. So the Gur Arya asked the question, what does that mean the Mitzrayim didn't allow them to stay? They weren't allowed to come into a space off. So the Gur Arya points out, no. For Ladoros generations, So the Jewish people were not allowed to eat chametz for the whole 7 days or 8 days in Chutz Laretz. But Pesach Mitzrayim, the Isser chametz, was only the first night. And they could have gone ahead and they could have eaten chametz afterwards. But what happened? They were getting ready to go, making the bread, and the Mitzrim said, go, get out. They couldn't become chametz. So why was that so important? Why do we specify that? So the thing is, let's say the Jews left Mitzrayim. The most important part of Yetzias Mitzrayim was the Jews recognizing that this was the Yad Hashem. And for that reason, the Yad Hashem had to be very strong. And let's say the Jews had a chance to go ahead and make bread, and then they would have left. They would have thought, okay, the Mitzrayim had enough. They let them out. They wouldn't, and it's true, they saw the Yad Hashem before, but they wouldn't have seen the ultimate Yad Hashem as they were leaving. So the Egyptian decided. You know, so for instance, it says, so therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed Yetzias Mitzrayim to take place in a certain way where the Jews would see the Yad Hashem in every aspect, every second, every specific detail. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it a way that the Jews would be driven out of Mitzrayim. Didn't have a second to get anything. And the Jews would ask, well, how did this happen? How did they go ahead and how did it happen that they were driven out? It must be the Yad Hashem. A very important aspect, you know, I think about the fact we're going through right now, and I know there's going to be Yeshua at some point. And I hope the world will recognize the Yeshua comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Mitzrayim and raised Jews recognize that. And that's why it came out that when it came out, it wasn't bread. Why? So that was in order the Jews should look at the matzah, and the matzah remind them. And when they left Mitzrayim, was all the Yad Hashem. They would see the Yad Hashem. They would see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down in Mitzrayim. They would recognize that all came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This idea of the Maral, the Guri Aryeh, is so important because it underscores the fact that Yetzias Mitzrayim happened with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu being there. And I think for that reason, with that idea in mind, we can answer all the questions. What do they answer all the questions? You see, once the Jewish people recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there with them, what that did, it changed the perspective. And when they saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with them, this same matzah that they saw as the bread of affliction, all of a sudden it changed. All of a sudden, things changed at that point. At that point, when they saw that the matzah was the symbol that God took them out, that there was no doubt in anyone's mind who was running the show. The matzah became not the symbol of affliction, but that same matzah, the same simple bread that only poor people have, the people of the money, people who are down in hard times, became a symbol of freedom, a symbol, a glorious symbol. And maybe this is the idea. Then we say beginning that the Gada. You have to understand that the Halach Ma'ani we're told was written when the Jews were in Golos already, when they were in Golos Bavel maybe. And the Jews are wondering, how do we experience freedom? And that's the question many are asking this year. And Jews throughout the centuries were asking, how do we experience freedom? How? How do we experience freedom? So many Jews and generations went through such difficult times on Pesach. And the Halach Manya says, you know how? Because this same bread, which is bread of affliction, when the Jewish people changed their perspective, that they saw what was very special about this, it became the bread of freedom. And therefore, at the beginning of Agadah, we say in the Halach Manya, yes, right now it's the bread of affliction. But you're going to see how it's going to change. If you want to know what it means to be free, what chayrus means, what it means to be an Eved Hashem, you have to understand how to keep your perspective and see what's really important. And when this bread matzah symbolized that HaKadosh Baruch was there for them, all of a sudden, it became the bread of Geula. And for that reason, I think in that way, we can really go ahead and we can understand, explain all the questions, and that's why we lean. Because at this point, At this point, we lean because now we understand what this symbolizes, what this stands for. Matzah Zusha Nidolim, and that's why we actually change the Nusuf. It's not, we don't say, like it's mentioned in the Chazal, that until HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed them. But we say until HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to them and redeemed them. What makes the matzah special, the source number 12, is not just that we were redeemed. Abshinigla Alei HaMelech Mamlochim. The matzah symbolizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there for us. And because of that, they changed the perspective and things became very special. And even though the matzah might be a poor man's bread, even though matzah might be a bread that people who are in a sorry state eat it, for us on Pesach night, we realize the background and what it means and the symbolic meaning of it. The matzah becomes something very, very special. And that's why even though it's the bread of affliction, the Jews do a seva. Because at that moment, when they see the matzah, what it feels like, they feel like very rich men. The Ani should be Yisrael, no matter how hard he is on his luck. He goes ahead, and the Ani should be Yisrael. And source number 8 will do a seva. So yes, at the very beginning of the Haggadah and the Halach Ma'anya, we say very carefully. We go ahead and we say that the matzah is lechem oni and has characteristics of lechem oni. As you see in source number 17, we see that the Chazal point out, he says that, I'm sorry, it wasn't Rabbi Akiva, it was Rabbi Yosef Lili Shita. You're not allowed to eat matzah, which has matzah shir, because it has to be matzah, which can be eaten by Ninus. When you're in a state of reflection, someone just died. We can't, it's poor man's bread. What does poor man's bread mean? Source number 18, we break it in half because poor people save bread for later. Or as the Gemara says, it's poor man's bread. You have to bake it as quickly as possible. A man does it with his wife. Why? Because poor people are trying to hurry the baking time to save money on fuel. It's a poor man's bread. But it changes because this matzah symbolizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. And that's Lechem Oni. That's the importance of Lechem Oni. And that's what freedom is about. And that is the message. That is the message of the Halach Ma'anya. To understand what we have in life. And I want to come back and I want to say very simply, but very important. I asked a question. And I said, what's going on here? So I think that just like David HaMelech, this is speculation, was punished with Magepha in his time because he was involved in Eino Tzarech, the world is involved in Eino Tzarech. And what does that mean? I think the world, on a certain level, we're overindulgent in everything. We've not understood the simple things in life. And I'll start off, for example, let's start off with vacation. And vacation is very important. I remember as a child, I was a Rosh Hashiva's son, but how many kids in my class would go away, you know, on fancy trips, you know what I'm saying? Or in terms of what we buy, it has to be the best. You know, I live in a certain house, so in my house over the past few weeks, people couldn't have weddings. So in one of the gardens in my house, someone offered as a chesed for people who want to make weddings, to make a wedding. So, you know, one wedding, there was 20 people at the chuppah. I'm looking at the wedding. I'm watching from my porch. Well, such a beautiful event. And it brings back memories of my father once told me when one of my siblings got married. I was a young boy. And my mother that year was an avelut. And my mother went to the wedding. Yeah, of course, her son got married. And the next day, we went to Shabbat Brachos in New York. And My sister and I went with my parents. I guess my other siblings didn't want to go. No one wants to go to old Shabbat Brachos of their siblings. And my mother was a little concerned. You know, she's still in Avelut. She's going to Shabbat Brachos. And my father telling my mother, please, I told you already it's okay. So at that time, I turned to my father and said, Abba, why is it okay? Imani is an Avelut. She's an Avelut. She says to me, first of all, Darach HaShulchan himself is matter for a parent to go to a wedding and a grandparent, of course, the Chasam Kalam. And he said, you have to understand, what's usher for a wedding is because It's such a glorious simcha, and the ambience around is ambience of simcha. But for a chassan and kala and the parents and the grandparents, they don't see all that stuff. What they see is this beautiful event. They see the simple act, the simplicity of a chassan and kala, the beauty of a wedding. And you know, this is the psak of the Aruch Hashulchan says, an avil can't go to a wedding also has mitzvah because it's such an ambient, such a simcha around it, the music, the food. But other shulchan mitzvahs are okay. And I tell people, it could be a bar mitzvah today, the Aruch Hashulchan wouldn't matter either. But we seem to have lost sight of the simple actions in life. Everything has to be big, has to be glorious. What happened to the simple days of a simple kiddush? What happened to the simple days when we didn't have to spend the most money, let's say, on everything, and people tear their hearts out? I think we're living in a time of einot tzarach. We have to go ahead and begin to appreciate what's special about life. And by the way, we are appreciating it because we're home. We're learning about our house, what it's like. You know, I saw a joke, two or three weeks ago when they stopped all the sports events in America. I'm sure many of you saw it. A man writes and says, you know, I had nothing to do last night because the sports events were all canceled. So I spoke to my wife for an hour, and I found out she's really nice. I also found out she's a nurse, and I found out that the TV, when it's off, it's dark. So it sounds funny, but you know what? It's true. We're sort of, I would say, we're distracted by all the glamour. And we don't appreciate the simple things in life. We don't appreciate what the matzah symbolizes, to see what's behind everything. We've lost that art. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. I have to tell you that I remember, you know, I grew up as a child. I'm sure my younger siblings certainly could tell this to me. So what I used to eat as a child for breakfast, I would eat cereal, usually sugar cereal with milk. I would eat sugar cereal with milk. You know, and every so often, you know, I would eat, I don't know, I guess, I didn't know what I used to eat, bread with butter and vegetables. You know, something, or Eretz and Pesach, something, matzo with vegetables. I remember my mother sometimes walking in and seeing myself and my sister Tova, my sister Rachel, we're eating this, and she would say, oh, you're eating an Israeli breakfast, or you're eating a ritva breakfast. She came from ritva breakfast. We always remember that. And like, hey, mother was trying to, I thought, remember ritva. But now it says she was able to appreciate the simple things in life, to go out and to see what's special, to see the beautiful day. There are so many beautiful things out there, and we've lost the art to appreciate the simple things in life. And that is the message, I believe, of matzah. And if you were to ask me, I know it's speculation, and I really don't like to speculate. But that's what I thought at the very, very beginning. Very, very beginning. You know, even, let's say, for example, I have to be honest with you, we have to have a siyum. So, first of all, the siyumim were a very big Kiddush Hashem. I think it was very important. But people have events. I have to have this many people. Who says you're going to have a small amount of people? Who says you have to invite the whole world? Let's keep it simple. Realize who is there and what's going on. There's nothing special. There's nothing as special as having family around and being with certain people. You know, on Friday nights, I'm sure it's all over the world, but here in Ma'at Shemesh, you see the youth are walking around and it's so beautiful. But now, and then my children stay home because they can't go out. And you know, we're appreciating how beautiful the home is. The simple things in life. Yes, there are times you go out, you want to see a big crowd. I know, Chol HaMoed Pesach, Chol HaMoed Sukkos, which we might not experience this year. It's so beautiful to go to see the Birchas Kohanim. But there's also the simple things in life. We have to learn to appreciate the simple things in life. There's a Medrash, which I did not have a chance to look up. But you know, the Medrash tells us, I understand that Ashmedai, Chazal tell us, somehow deposed Shlomo HaMelech for a while. And Dovid, the demon Ashmedai, it's a mushel. And Dovid HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech was walking around and he had money and two people invited him. And one person invited him in, a very wealthy person. And when Dovid HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech was there, it was very hard for him because he remembered being a king. And then it was very hard for him. And then when a poor person invited him, what did he share with him? A little bread, you know, maybe some cheese, some, wow, this is amazing. Why? Because he took comfort. He took a lot of comfort from, he took a lot of comfort from the simple things in life. He took a lot of comfort from the simple things in life. I remember sometimes, you know, as Jews, we have these Yiddish macholim, these foods every yontif. You know, Pesach, of course, is all the Pesach things. I remember one time, yeah, I'm not sure which yontif it is, but you know, Chodesh Tishrei, stuffed cabbage comes in. I remember one time, so my wife was making stuffed cabbage, one lady's building came in and said, oh, can I have a piece of stuffed cabbage? And what was it about? It wasn't about stuffed cabbage. It was about, it brought back memories of home. There's nothing as special as memories of home. My brother, when my mother was in her final sickness, and my brother would drive her to the hospital, Evanston Hospital, they would go through they would pass a bike path down McCormick Avenue. And one time she was driving my mother to the hospital. He told me the story after my mother passed away. You know, I'm the youngest in the family. So the youngest in the family, sometimes there's a problem, a challenge, because, you know, and all the siblings don't have time to spend with them. And you know what, I'm a baby. I was a baby in the family, I'll admit that. And I didn't have so many friends around. And, you know, I wanted to go bicycle riding. And most of the time, no one would go bicycle riding with me. So my mother, how old was my mother at that time? She's probably in her 40s, high 40s, a Rebbetzin. She went bicycle riding on a bike path with me. And as she was going ahead and as she was passing by the bike path and recording to my brother, oh, I remember those bicycle rides of Chaim, the simple things in life, how special they are. I'll tell another story and by myself, and then I will I'll sum things up. So I was the youngest in the family, and because of that, I had the schus, I had the merit that when I would walk home with my father from shul, I was the last one, the last one in the house. And my father, being who he was, you know, we talk a lot. It was very special. And we'd come to a street of a light. He would grab my hand to hold my hand. Imagine this. First of all, it wasn't a very busy street. There was a light there. Truth is, maybe one intersection was quite busy. But here I was, a 16-year-old boy, a 7-year-old boy, and your father grabs his hand. And at that time, I didn't realize grabbing my hand was a symbol of love. And I pulled it away, not in a respectful manner. And then after my father had the stroke, Baruch Hashem, he was well, but at home, I'd walk home from shul every Friday night for myself and drive by now. And I get to the intersection and my father wasn't there to hold my hand. I missed the simple things in life. And the simple things in life passes by and we can't see that, the matzah in life. And that's the lesson. You want to know what freedom is? We start halach ma'anya before you start tagada. They tell us this matzah was lechem oni. It was the bread of slavery, the bread of affliction. And what happened? What happened in the end was it became a symbol that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with us. And we could go away and we could see what's simple in life. You know, and there's so many things that we don't see. I remember as a child, not as a child, after I got married, we'd go visit my parents, whether with my family, not with my family, and I would go back to visit, and I would, you know, I'd stay in my old room, and I get into my bed at night, oh, but I said, wow, this is just amazing. You felt security having your parents near you. And even after my parents moved to a new house, I would. It is something very special. And then a year after my parents passed away, I had to go to Chicago in order to help close up, go through my father's notes. And I went to sleep that night in my parents' house. And it was just, oh my gosh, it was horrible. A year later, I had basically about to stop saying Kaddish. The simple things in life, having your parents near you, being able to talk to your children. And I think that's the message here, that, you know, the Magefa has come, just like the Melech Einot Tzarech. We're involved in it. We're involved in Tzarich, and it's clear. And the corona is allowing us to now take notice of the simple things in life, being home, appreciating being at home, appreciating, I'm taking more time to daven now, appreciating that we have a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Vayomer David El God, Sarli Ma'od, let me fall in the hands of God, let me recognize God. And I want to finish off, so we're coming to Pesach, and it's not going to be a Pesach like regular. But we have to take notice of what we have. And I would say that, you know, certain people are not together with their family. I have to mention, you know, let's say, for example, you know, unless things change, my mother-in-law will not be with her grandchildren or children for the Seder. She'll be having a Seder with a few other, maybe ladies her age. But she still knows that her children love her. They call her. We have Zoom sessions before Yom Kippur. Well, Zoom sessions after Yom Kippur. And the bottom line, whatever else is going on, just like the matzah tells us, no matter what's going on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there for us. So whatever it is, the most simple thing in life is to recognize that God is there. And if you look at the very end, I would say that when we're in Shul, we reach Shir HaShirim, Yishakenu Minashikos Pihu. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kiss us from the kisses of your mouth with your ultimate love. Ki tovim dodecha miyayim, because your love is greater than wine. What does wine symbolize? Wine symbolizes wealth and luxury. I would tell you that, you know, in regard to Chag HaPesach, we're told that Yana HaMelech once came to do Nisach HaYayim, and instead of Nisach HaMayim pouring water on his bath, and instead of pouring on his bath, where did he go? He went ahead and he poured it on the floor, on his feet. He's trying to say, water, they don't serve God, serve God of wine. Why does all the people of luxury to conserve it? And he says, no, we recognize water as something very special. And that's why we have the Nisach HaMayim. You can look at the article of my father from the logic of our logic of mind. We shouldn't take things for granted. So he says, and that's why, that is what this matzah is about, the simplicity of life. Kiss us, God, with your kiss. Show us your love, because we know your love, which is always there, is better than wine, all the complicated, sophisticated things. If you look at Rashi, Mikol Oneg V'Simcha, the lesson of the matzah is to take notice of the simple things of life. That's what we have to do. That's what we need. Everyone understands. Everyone knows. It's something the whole world has to learn. And we sit at the Seder and we eat the matzah. Recognize the most special thing we have is HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives. And Baruch Hashem, we're still here. We should mispal with all those that are sick, and we should see the end to this pandemic. But as I began to share, in order that we should bring the Gul into Yeshua, we have to realize, we have to react in the proper way. And what's the proper way to act? We have to do tshuva. We can't ignore this. And this is my speculation. We have to begin to learn the lesson of matzah. It's simple in life. And to say that the matzah that was the bread of affliction became the matzah of freedom. Because freedom means taking notice of what's special in life and short of changing our perspective. And if we do that, with all the challenges Pesach will entail, have a very special Pesach. If we're able to imbue and we're able to understand and learn that lesson, it will change our perspective, and we should be able to see the ultimate Yeshua. And as we say, we should be able to eat Mirtz Hashem the Korban Pesach, see the end of this, and we should be able to celebrate with our family. I wish everyone a wonderful, wonderful Pesach, HaKosher B'Sameach. If there's a question, so I'm going to do is, I all unmuted. Anyone has questions, you can ask questions now until I close off. Any questions?
That's cute.
No, right. Very inspiring.
Okay, thank you. Mirtz Hashem, I look forward to seeing everybody in Mirtz Hashem next month at Beit Avichai, and we should learn Torah together, Mishmeach together, and really see HaKadosh Baruch Hu and see the good in our lives. Yes.
This is Mitch Morgenstern from Chicago.
Hi, Mitch. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, boy, thank you so much. You know, through Baruch Kalman, I tuned in today. It's beautiful. And it brought back so many memories of your father.
Thank you so much.
Learning your father's share, the Torah of your father, just brought back so many memories.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yes. Hello? Someone have a question? Somebody have a question? All right, so unless I hear a question, I think by the way, if you want a question, I think you can put a hand up where it says I have a question. Okay. So, by the way, if you want to ask any questions. All right. So that's the case. I'm staying on. I'll shut the shiur up like a minute or two. If you have a question, and for whatever reason you can't, I'm not hearing you. I think there's a way to put your hand up when it says to have a conversation. Hold on a second. I don't know how it is. Whatever. Anyways, I wish I have a chag kosher bari b'smeach, a very healthy and kosher and happy Pesach. Okay, very good. Okay, you all, everybody.
Chag kosher b'smeach.
Chag kosher b'smeach, everybody. Chag kosher b'smeach.
Chag kosher b'smeach. Go off.
Okay, I'm going to go up right now. There you go.
Right, but I guess,
yeah,
unless you want to really ask
I apologize, by the way, that I couldn't see my face, but I think I'm going to turn it off right now. Okay. And then end the meeting. A good impact. Good to everybody.